Okay, so I think this is a good way to start, reciting the Sunangama mantra and entering a little bit flavor of what is dhyana. I would like everybody to say just your name, nothing, you don't need to say more. So we can memorize also our names.
Toi.
Toi.
Terry.
Terry. Edward.
Scott.
Rinaldi. Bosan.
Of course, welcome everybody, but especially to my Dharma brother, Bosan. When he knew that we had this class, he thought that perhaps could join and share with us his knowledge, because he has done a very serious study on this mantra, in comparative studies between the Chinese tradition, the Tibetan tradition. So I would like to invite you, if you don't mind, to maybe speak just a few minutes of what is your understanding of this mantra, how do you understand it in Tibetan, if it exists or not, a little bit overview of the mantra. Since we're starting the class, I think it would be interesting for everybody before we jump into the meditation, and also to know what in the Tibetan tradition, they consider this mantra.
Right.
One warning is that there is all kind of levels here,
yeah.
So please be so everybody can understand.
Okay.
Don't be too much into this profundity.
So talk for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, whatever you decide is fine. But yes,
okay.
Something.
Yeah. So just to share with you some background on the mantra. If you all turn to page in here, the section where, let me get it to you here, Namo Bala Humuni, line 28. So there's a Sanskrit version of this mantra, and you see where it says line 28 on page 8, Namo Bala Humuni, Namo Yintolaya. So this Sarangama mantra is actually in a language called Siddham, which is from North India, Siddham. And there's a version of it that was spoken in the heaven of Indra. Indra, like Yintolaya, where it says right there, line 29. And this version of the mantra is called the Ushnisha Shitatapatra mantra in Sanskrit. And I discovered this because a good friend of mine, who's from a Chinese tradition, has been chanting the Sarangama mantra for 20 years. He was a monk. And the title in his Chinese book is the exact same as our book, except it comes from more Cantonese tradition. Rather than say Sarangama mantra, it said Shitatapatra Dharani. And I went, oh, that's interesting. Because Master Hua, in his commentary, called this mantra not only the Sarangama mantra, but the mantra of Shidando Bodala, if you ever read the Sarangama Sutra. In, I believe it's volume 6, they say this mantra is called Shidando Bodala. And Shidando Bodala sounds phonetically a lot like Shitatapatra. Right? Shidando Bodala, Shitatapatra. So Shitatapatra is great white canopy. Yeah. So the larger name of this mantra is called the mantra of the great white canopy, Shitatapatra. And right before I became a monk in the Tibetan tradition, there was a opportunity to receive a transmission of a mantra called the Great White Umbrella Goddess Mantra. And then when I heard it, it sounded just like the part that we chant, Dache Donan Unali Pishati, right? And I went, oh, the Tibetans chant a part of this mantra. And then as I was going through it over the years, I started to notice things that exist in the Tibetan tradition and also in the Hindu tradition. So one of them is this line here where it says, Namo Bala Humuni, which Master Hua says is Brahma, right, the God that creates this universe. And the next one is Namo Yintolaya, Indra, right, the God of the Abrahamic religions, meaning the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. And then the next line there, Namo Puchipudi, is Bhagavate, right, on line 30. And then line 31, it says Lutolaya. So when I started to find a Sarangama Sanskrit version, I saw that Lutolaya is Rudraya. And Rudra is another name for Shiva, right, the god spoken of the Hindus. And the next line is 32, Womo Bodhi. So Womo Bodhi in Sanskrit is Umapati, who is the goddess, so to speak, wife or consort of Shiva, right? So the next one is Swoshiyaya Namo Puchepudi again, then Nolayanaya, 35 and 36. So Nolayanaya is Narayana, and in Hinduism, Narayana is another name for Krishna, right? And Master Hua, in his commentary, he says this, right? In volume one of his commentary on this, he says these names of gods that are part of Hinduism and Judeo-Christian Muslim, they're actually great bodhisattvas who are manifesting as a god, so that people who want to believe only in a god and go to their heaven can relate to them, right? But in fact, they're already Buddhas and they're just manifesting as a god, right? So this is Master Hua's commentary on this. And a little bit farther down it says, if you go to the section where it says, right here, is line 40, Moha Jalaya. So Moha Jalaya, as I became more deep into the Tibetan tradition, I heard of a form of Avalokiteshvara, or Guanyin, that is wrathful. So if we look at this Guanyin up here, we see there's a Guanyin Pusa with all these pleasant, calm, compassionate faces, 11 of them, right? Same thing at Wan Fuchang, you see these 11 heads on the big thousand-armed Guanyin Pusa, or Chenrezi Avalokiteshvara. And the head on the very top is Amitabha, but there's one head that looks very scary and wrathful, right? And that form in the Tibetan tradition is called Mahakala, right? So you'll see here, line 40, it says Moha Jalaya. Moha Jalaya, Moha means Maha in Sanskrit, Jalaya is Kalaya, the great Mahakala, wrathful form of Chenrezi, or Guanyin Pusa. So moving a little bit further down, we see where it says Namo Puchipudi, line 49 again, so Namo Bhagavate, Namo Puchipudi. And you'll see where it says Doto Chedo Julaya, right? So Julaya in modern day Sanskrit is called Kulaya. Julaya, Kulaya, right? Kulaya means family or division or lineage. And Doto Chedoya is Tathagataya, the Buddha family. So that would be Shakyamuni Buddha. But also this Buddha in the center, they're made of all sandalwood. Right on the altar above Master Xuanhua is called Vairochana, right? So in this mantra, you'll see the names of many Buddhas listed, and they'll be listed in the form we're familiar with, such as Amitabha, but also in the form that's exalted that only a bodhisattva could see, such as Amitayus, long-life Buddha. You'll hear Shakyamuni Buddha, Shujiya Munoya, Shakyamuniya, right? So that's what we see as a Buddha in a human form, but then we also hear Vairochana, right? So Vairochana is mentioned twice in this mantra, light pervading everywhere, the exalted form of Shakyamuni. That's called Pilujuna in the Sharangama. Pilujuna is the Vairochana. And then you'll see the next one after the Doto Chedo Jula is Namo Bhotomo Julaya. So Namo Bhotomo, what does Bhotomo sound like? Bhotomo, Padma, Padma, lotus. Julaya is family, that's the lotus family. And who's the lotus family? It's Amitabha Buddha with Guanyin Pusa and great strength Bodhisattva, as we see on those images on the stained glass there. The next line is Namo Puchipudi Doto Jeda Namo Namo Bashala Julaya. So Bashala, whenever you see Bashala, that means Vajra. So who is the Vajra family? It's Medicine Buddha, right? And Medicine Buddha has a form that we see, so to speak, as a Buddha, but then there's another form of Medicine Buddha called Akshobhya, and that's spoken of a little bit further down in the mantra I'll show you. And then the last two lines of there, just for a brief introduction here, is the then it goes Namo Ratna Kulaya. So Namo Bashula Julaya. And there it is, Namo Moni Julaya, line 53. So Moni in Siddham is Mani in Sanskrit. Mani like money, right? And Mani means the jeweled family. So this is jeweled birth Buddha, the Buddha of the South, and his lineage. And the next one is Namo Cheshe Julaya. So Cheshe Julaya, Cheshe is Garja in Sanskrit. Garja means the elephant family, right? Also called the family of the north, which is to purify your karmas. And that family is called Amoghasiddhi Buddha, the Buddha of the north. And his bodhisattvas that go with him is Earth Store Bodhisattva, Ditsang Wangpusa, right? And his other bodhisattva that goes with him is a god, the god of death, Yama Raja. So the five families are invoked there. Namo Dotoche Dojulaya, Tathagata family, Kulaya, of Shakyamuni Buddha, along with Manjushri and Samantabhadra are implied. And then comes, and Vajrapani. Then comes the Namo Bhotamojulaya, the Padma family. This is Amitabha, but it also implies Amitayus. And it implies Guanyin Pusa, Avalokiteshvara. It implies great strength, Bodhisattva. Next one, Namo Vashalajulaya. This is Medicine Buddha and his exalted adorned form of Akshobhya. But it also means the sunlight and moonlight Bodhisattvas, like we chant at Wanfo Chung in the morning, right? And then the last two is the Namo Muni Kulaya, the Mani family, the jeweled family. This is the Buddha of the South, Ratnasambhava, jeweled birth. And his bodhisattva helpers, who are the bodhisattvas of the paramitas, the perfections. And then lastly is one called Akasha Garbha, empty space treasury bodhisattva. And the last one is the Cheshe Julaya, or Garja family. And this is Amoghasiddhi, jeweled accomplishment Buddha of the North, and his two speak out your negative karmas Buddhas, who are Ditsang Wangpusa, and we have that mantra that purifies our negative karmas of Earth Store Bodhisattva. And if you don't purify your negative karmas in this life, then King Yama, the god of death, the other right-hand helper of Amoghasiddhi, is the god of death, who ends up making you lose your human rebirth a little quicker so you could purify your karmas more rapidly. So that's a brief explanation from there. And then this next section of the mantra, it repeats a standard formula. And I discovered that this was all Sanskrit from looking at the Medicine Buddha mantra. In Medicine Buddha mantra, they're always going, if you're familiar with the Chinese one, the Siddham, where it goes Samyao Samputoye, right? Samyak Sambuddhaya, right? And they go, other formulas. So the formulas here that you'll see repeated over and over in the mantra is the following. It starts right here. Let me bring you down to a line that is actually the Medicine Buddha mantra. It's the first one is Amitabha mantra, line 61. Namo Amidopoye, right? Amidopoye is Amitabhaya. Namo Amidopoye is Namo Amitabhaya. Dotochedoye is Tathagataya. And now move to page 10, and you'll see line 63. It says Ulahudi. Ulahudi is Arhat, gone beyond birth and death. Line 64 is Samyak Sambuddhaya. That means Samyak Sambodhi, like Anodolo Samyak Sambuddhi, Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, to complete enlightenment. And then it starts over again, a different mantra, line 65, Namo Puche Puri, Namo Bhagavati. Uchupiya is Akshobhya. Akshobhya is the exalted bodhisattva form that only a great bodhisattva can see of Medicine Buddha, Akshobhya. Again, Dotochedoya Ulahudi Samyasamputoya, which in Sanskrit is Tathagata Arhat Samyaksambodhi. Next one, Namo Puche Puri, and now is Bhishashuya. This is the Buddha name of Medicine Buddha. Akshobhya is Uchupiya, exalted, that only Buddhas see, Bodhisattvas see. And then Bhishashuya is Bhaisaja, in Sanskrit, means healer. So he's the king of healing, Bhishashuya. Julufe Julia Bola Pula Shuya. This means Julufe Julia is the lapis lazuli radiance. Bola Pu means Prabaha. Lashuya is king. And it keeps repeating this formula over and over. And what it does is it goes through all the popular Buddhas, Shakyamuni, right, Shujiya Munoya. If you move down a little bit further, you'll see line 82, Shujiya Munoya Dotochedoya Ulahudi Samyasamputoya. So every time it says Samyasamputoya, that's the end of the mantra for that Buddha. And every time it says Namo Puche Puri, it's the beginning of the mantra for that Buddha. And then the next one, Namo Puche Puri Ladan Naji Dula Shuya. This is a Buddha called Ratnaketu. Lajan Naji Dula Shuya Ratnaketu. So many different Buddhas, but the main ones it invokes are Shakyamuni, it invokes Amitabha, then it invokes as well the Medicine Buddha, or Akshobhya. And then moving down to the last one is Dipyao Namo Sajelito. This is line 91. Dipyao. Dipyao is Dipan in Sanskrit. Dipyao Namo Sajelito. Itan Puche Puro. So this, it invokes a Dipankara Buddha. Dipankara is burning lamp Buddha. Now, how did I know all this was true when I saw the raw Sanskrit that I downloaded years ago off the internet with no explanation, nothing? Well, I went, Dipankara, okay, that's Burning Lamp Buddha. And then I read Master Hua's commentary and I go, oh, when I get to line there where it says, Dipyao Namo, Dipyao, Master Hua says, is Burning Lamp Buddha, the one who gave a prediction to Shakyamuni Buddha in a past life that in a future life you'll become Shakyamuni, right? So over the years, I've spent 6 years validating every line using Master Hua's commentary, and I saw that it matches the Sanskrit, right? So a friend of mine who knows Sanskrit much better than I do, he's actually a Hindu, he went through this over about 30 hours work 1 week with me. We recorded the whole thing out loud, and we looked at each word, and he says, wow, Master Hua is truly a great sage. If Reverend Hungshir says he actually didn't study formally Sanskrit, yet he understands every single word of the meaning in here. How is that possible? So my friend had an insight. He said, when Master Hua is perhaps chanting this mantra, he doesn't need to use the discriminating mind to think about the meaning. As he chants it with his eyes closed, he sees perhaps each of these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas manifesting in front of him, right? And the last thing I could share with you about this mantra is, don't think that each line has a literal meaning as a sentence by itself. Each line that we speak of as a line is really, in many cases, not a line, it's a word, or two words only, right? So if you look at the Sanskrit version of this mantra, it's actually big sentences we're reading here, right? That are paragraphs. But here's an example of that. If you move to line Dipyao Namo Sajilito, here it is. Dipyao, starting on line 91. So Master Xuanhua, in his commentary, he says the eradicating disasters section of the Sharangama begins on line 91. And it ends on line 108, right? So from line 91 on page 11 there to line 108, this is called the eradicating disasters. It prevents earthquakes, it prevents wars from becoming big wars, and the small wars disappear altogether, right? So when I read that line in Sanskrit to my Hindu friend, he went, oh, this is so beautiful. Master Hua's commentary is right. This whole line here is basically saying throughout the entire universe, any bad events that would be violent, may they become small events. And any small violent events, may they disappear altogether, right? So through the power of chanting this mantra. And then moving down a little bit, I'll show you the name of this mantra. The name of this mantra is line 95. Sadandobo Dalan, right? Sadandobo Dalan. So that's repeated over and over. And this line 94, Shainishan. Shainishan is the Sanskrit word Ushnisha. So this is the Ushnisha right here. It's your crown chakra. So if you look on any Buddhas, you'll see they have a flesh cowl or a big sort of bun on the top. That's called the Ushnisha or crown chakra. So you see there Shainishan. And you'll see Shainishan mentioned about four times in the mantra. And it usually goes together with this next line, which is Sadan Dobo Dalan. You'll see that near the very end of the mantra. I'll jump you to that section. And you'll see that in section 2, section 3. So everyone turn, please, to page 23. Do you see page 23?
Which line?
Line 365. It's mentioned for a second time right here. Sadandobo Dala, right? Sadandobo Dala is same as line 95, Sadandobo Dalan. So what is Sadandobo Dala, right? And mentioned a little bit further at the very end of the mantra. It's mentioned three times. If you turn to page 30, you'll see it's mentioned another time. Line 531, Shidandobo Dala, Shidandobo Dala. So three times, page 30, line 531, and we just saw on page 23. They said the line, they said that line, Sadandobo Dala, line 365. So turn to page 30. On page 30, you see it mentioned again, the last time, Shidandobo Dala, right? Now in Master Hua's commentary, he said you could just chant Shidandobo Dala, right? And Ron Epstein told a beautiful tale, a beautiful story, not a tale, in 2003 Sharangama Retreat at City of 10,000 Buddhas. He said he would just chant all the time, Shidando Bodala, Shidando Bodala, Shidando Bodala, Shidando Bodala, over and over and over. Master Hua told him to do so. And one day he was in a huge auto accident, right? Before there were airbags, when you just had seatbelt. There's no airbags. And in the middle of this auto accident, when his car was totaled and destroyed, he was going Shidando Bodala, Shidando Bodala as the mantra. He was chanting it as he got into a severe auto accident. And he saw what opened up above him, he said, was a jeweled canopy, a great white umbrella, a jeweled canopy, right? That filled the sky and it disappeared just in seconds, right? Sort of like a big airbag, but a jeweled airbag that protected him. So this is Shidando Bodala. The Sanskrit for this is Shitata Patra. And just last year I received this transmission from a monk named Chodin Rinpoche in his 80s, and he gave the transmission of Shidando Bodala mantra. And I went, ah, that's the Sharangama, Shidando Bodala. But he called it Shitata Patra, the Sanskrit name. So Shita means cool in Sanskrit, or cold, and Patra means leaf or canopy or umbrella. So this means may everything covered over with this umbrella, may it be cool and calm and relaxed, not upset and angry. And then you'll see the next line in the mantra right there, 533, Shiny Shan. Shiny Shan is mentioned again, page 30, line 533, Shiny Shan. So Shiny Shan is again Ushnisha. And it's sort of beautiful in Sanskrit. My Hindu friend, when he was reading that, he went, Shiny Shan. Hey, that sounds like the English word shiny. Shiny meaning it's shining and brilliant, right? Chongming in Mandarin. So shiny. So Shiny Shan, here in English, in Sanskrit, we say Shiny Shan, but it sounds like the English word shiny. And in fact, the Sanskrit word right there, Ushnisha, means the crown chakra of the Buddha is shining with a brilliant light. And if you look at the introduction that we chanted today in Sanskrit, or in Chinese, it said, from the Buddha's flesh mound, a thousand-petaled lotus arose, and all these beautiful lights came from it. That's the meaning of this. And yet it even sounds like that in English, shiny, it's shining. So then the very last part of this mantra is actually invoking Vajrapani, right? Which is Wei To Pusa, right? When it goes Dachi Donan Unali Pishiti, that whole section invokes Vajrapani. One last thing to share with you in here was on page number, in section 1 of the mantra. Section 1 is the most powerful just to chant for beginners, because it doesn't do any practices that are difficult. It's simply to create good benefit in the world by chanting many different Buddha's names. So moving to this section where it repeats these five Buddhas again is on page 11. So page 11 is 104, right? Chituni Ujala Miriju Bodhidana Yuningji. 104 through 108 on page 11. If you go to the refrigerator here in this monastery, you'll see a magnet that says the Sharangama Five Hearts, right? And that you should chant that to purify your food and to make sure that there's no bad energy on the food. So that is Chituni Ujala Miliju Bolidana Yeningjali. So Master Hua says what this means is Chituni invokes Shakyamuni Buddha. Ujala invokes Amitabha Buddha. Miliju invokes Medicine Buddha. Bolidanlaya invokes the Buddha of the South, Jeweled Birth, Ratnasambhava. And Ningjali invokes the Buddha of the North, which is Amoga City, Jeweled Accomplishment. So when you chant those five hearts, Chitoni Ujala, Miriju, Bodhidanaya, Ningjali, it's invoking all five Buddhas and their retinues, right? A little bit further down, you'll see a reference that most Chinese wouldn't know about, but anyone who knows Tibetan Buddhism has heard of Tara, right? Most Chinese Buddhists don't know about Tara. That's the teardrops of compassion of Guanyin Pusa, of Chenrei Zi, right? So Tara is, we could say, a transformation body of Guanyin Pusa. So turn to the section a little bit further ahead. It says, Uli Yedola, line 143, page 13. So you see on page 13, line 143, it says, Uli Yedola. Uliya, what does Uliya sound like in Sanskrit? It sounds like the word Arya, like Aryavalokiteshvara. Arya means revered, right? And Tola is Tara. Tola, right? Now, one of the ways I came upon this is I've known Chinese language for long enough that I would hear certain people from different regions of China, when I would say a word beginning with an R in it, they would use the letter L instead of R to pronounce it, right? Well, here's what happened. When the mantra slowly moved through the Himalayas, through Tibet and through China, Tara in Sanskrit became Tala, right? Tala. So we say Arya Tara right there. And then if you move down, this whole section is actually related to Tara. So if you go a little bit further on page 14, is the last section of Tara.
I have
to go to attend this monk.
Please okay,
continue
no
with
problem.
The class.
So you'll see where it says Moha Shwedo Uli Yedola Maha Shweta Aryatara, page 14, line 158. Moha Shwedo Uli Yedola. So notice that Uli Yedola is recited on line 159 and on line 143 and 159 is Uli Yedola. So what is Uli Yedola? It's Aryatara. It's saying, please, teardrops of great compassion, Bodhisattva, Guanyin, please benefit us who are suffering. And what is Moha Shwedo? Moha again means great, Maha, great. What is Shwedo? White, the great white Tara. And if you look at Master Hua's commentary on this, on that line, he writes a verse and he says, Moha Shwedo refers to the great white-robed Guanyin, right? So Guanyin in a white robe, which is a form of Tara, the more female, compassionate form of Tara. And then every time you say the word Bashila, you see this on 161, Bashila, again 162, Bashila, again 164, Bashila. Bashila is that Vajra family, the Vajra Kulai of Medicine Buddha. So this whole section of the mantra here, after it finishes saying the Buddha's names, it then invokes all these Vajra protecting Dharma spirits. That is to say, all the retinue of Medicine Buddha, Bashila, Vajra. So these Vajra protecting spirits. And one of them is the one mentioned in the Sharangama Sutra, called the when they go through the 25 different sages in the Sharangama Sutra, like Maitreya and Samantabhadra, you know, and these different arhats, Mahakashapa, right? So one of them is a Vajra protecting spirit, right? And his name is Firehead Vajra. So Firehead Vajra is invoked here as well. And he says he vowed always to be a spirit, not to manifest in a human realm, but to always be a spirit to protect living beings in their cultivation. Next thing you'll notice is line 187, Yintu Namo Moshe. Yintu Namo Moshe at the very end of section 1, page 15, line 187. So what this Yintu Namo Moshe is, this is similar to in the Dabejo, the Great Compassion Mantra. At the very end of the Great Compassion Mantra, what's the words we say? We go, Namo Hula Dana Dolaya, Namo Uliya Polujeri, Shaupan Laya Sopoha, Nanshi Dando Mandala Batoya Sopoha, right? So at the very end of the Dabejo, it goes, Nanshi Dando Mandala Batoya Sopoha. Nanshi Dando is Om Siddhyantu. Siddha means achievement. Om Siddha, Om may I have achievement. Mandala is mantra. We want to have achievement with the mantra, right? And mantra padaya, padaya means fruit. May I have achievement with this mantra such that it bears fruit in a good way. So this is the meaning of line 187. Yintu Namo Moshe means may all the previous words I've said, may they now bear fruit right now, right? And if you jump ahead to the end of section 2, line 233, Namo Yintu, it goes Yintu Namo Moshe again. Yintu Namo Moshe. Right, again, may it bear fruit. And now let's look at section 3. I'm going to give you a brief summary of what section 3 is. Now, Master Hua says section 3, you could chant it, but don't try to use it to do anything at all, right? Unless you're a big high-level cultivator. Why? Because section 3 actually invokes the names of all these different ghosts, right? And these different spirits. So, you know, you might have heard if you're from Wanfochung, City of 10,000 Buddhas, you'll see the nuns having their palms together for part of the mantra, then they put them down. What's that about, right? So Master Hua says, when you chant the Sharangama, you shouldn't have your palms together all the time. You could, but for the first section, it's good because you're saying Namo Bhagavate, you know, name of the Buddha. Namo Puche Puri, you know, name of Amitabha. Namo Puche Puri, Shujiya Munofoya, Shakyamuni. So you're saying all these Buddha's names, so it's okay to have your palms together then. But and same with Aryatara. But when you get to this section 2, section 3, right, section 4, you don't want to do that because it's invoking the names of all these different ghost spirits, right, and the ghost kings. So what this is about is there's a Sanskrit word here. You see Baya, Jula Baya, right, or Puya, Baya, same thing, Baya, Puya, line 234, Baya, line 235 and 233, Puya. So you know when Sanskrit came to China and to Tibet, the Tibetans, they adopted the alphabet of Sanskrit, right? Because they had no alphabet. So their Sanskrit mantras, even though they're spoken with a Tibetan accent, they resemble the Sanskrit more clearly than the Chinese. But the Chinese had no alphabet. They're not an alphabet system. They use characters. So hence, as it moved to China, it got slightly modified so that the Sanskrit word bhaya, which means fear, right, became puya most of the time. But other times it became bhaya. So what is this fear of, right? Lashe. Anytime you see the word lashe in Siddham of Chinese mantra world, lashe, line 233, lashe means king, right? And you see this in the Medicine Buddha mantra. Namo poche pudi bishashe julu biliuli bolapu hu lashe. Lashe means raja. And think of it again. If I was an Indian guy and I came to China, right, and I said raja, most people from mainland China wouldn't go raja, they go laja, right? Because the L and the R gets mixed up depending where you're from in China. Not everyone does that. So raja became lashe. Lashe. What is lashe? It's the king, right? You've heard of Rajasthan in India, it means the king. And puya means fear. So this line means fear of the king. What this means is, anytime the government's giving me a hard time when I don't deserve it, may that disappear, right? And if we move on a little bit further, jula bhaya. So jula bhaya, jula in Sanskrit is kora. Kora jula. Kora means thieves. May anytime there's fear of thieves, because there's marauding armies coming and pillaging and plundering and stealing everything, jula bhaya, may that be dispelled. May I not have any fear of the government harming me, because I'm following the law. May I not have any fear of thieves attacking me, because I don't steal anyone's stuff. Well, why should people steal my things? And so on and so forth. A very powerful line that when the Gulf War broke out, number two, I started chanting that a lot, because Master Hua says you should chant just this line if you want to, just these two only. You don't have to chant the whole Sharangam all the time. He said sometimes you could chant just one or two lines that bring apart a good support. So the section that you should focus on anytime you're afraid of war in the world is this line here. Shusado la puya pula jaje la puya. 238. 238 is Shusado la puya. Again, puya is baya. Shusado la puya. And then pulajau jela puya. So what are these two? Again, puya means baya or fear. Shusado lapuya is shastra. You heard that in the Tripitaka we have three levels of text in all these books on the wall up there. We have the sutras, right? Then we have the vinaya or the precepts for monks and nuns, the ethical conduct books. And then there's something called the shastras, the commentary, shastra, right? So this line, Master Hua says, Shusado Lapuya is Shastra Payabaya. It means, don't have fear about the Shastras, the commentaries spoken by the Buddha, but it also means, may the Shastras prevent war in the world. And the line right after that is Pulajau Jelapuya. What this means is chakra. A chakra means a wheel. If you can imagine in some kung fu movies, they might throw something that looks like a circular saw blade and it has all these points on it. So if someone threw it like a frisbee, it would kill you, right? Well, that's what that means. Master Hua says that line there, Pulajau Jela Puya, that's Para Chakra Baya. May the weapons of mass destruction, may those fears not come and harm you, right? So he says this line here, Shusado Lapuya, Pulajau Jela Puya, page 17, line 238 and 239, means through the power of the shastras, the commentaries on the sutras by sages, in my book that would be Master Xuan Hua, but it's also people like Nagarjuna, Longshu Pusa, right? It's Huineng, all these different sages' commentaries, right? So may they help to prevent weapons of mass destruction. And that makes sense, because you read the sages' commentaries and you go, why would I want to start trouble anymore? Okay, so all the rest of this section here, puya, 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 means fear. And it goes through the names of all kinds of beings that you might be afraid of, such as Nagas, right? Nagas means dragons or serpents. And then it moves down a little bit further here when we see, if you go to page 18, it switches from puya right here on line 251 to hula, jelahu. Now what is jelahu in Sanskrit? Jelahu is graha, right? So do we have a g sound in Mandarin? We do, but it's not as common as j, g, right? So, and ra, we don't say in Mandarin ra, it's not that common, we would say la, right? And then hu, we do have in Mandarin. So what is jela hu? It's graha. Graha means to grasp, and it's where in English language we get the word grasp, meaning to steal, to capture, to take, let's grasp that. So jela hu means grasp. So this section of the mantra from line 251 all the way down to line Jelahu, 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 right to line 263. So 251 through 263. That goes through all the major types of ghosts. Yaucha Jelahu means yakshas. May the yakshas, the speedy ghosts, not grasp me. Means I don't want to be possessed by them, and please may they also not possess other beings. So next one is Lacha Zujelahu, 253. Lacha, again, Chinese. If I came there, you know, 1,000 years ago as an Indian guy, and I said Raksha, the Chinese would go Lacha, Lacha. Lacha Jelahu means Rakshasa ghosts, the blood-eating ghosts. And then moving down a little bit further, Puto, Pudo, line 255, Pudo Jelahu. This is Putana. Putana means stinks, right? We even get that word in English when we say poop. Poop like crap. Oh, that stinks. Poo. So in French, in Sanskrit, poo or boo, boo means it stinks. So this is the stinky ghost that likes to hang out around feces and stinky rotting corpses, right? And so on and so forth. That's Budana Jelahu. This is a putana, a putana. Jaja Budana is a kataputana, another form of stinky ghost. So what I noticed in my studies over the years with the Sarangama Mantra, I discovered the one that was spoken up in the Indra's Heaven, because this Sarangama Mantra is pretty long, right? But there's a longer one in Sanskrit that completely matches Master Hua's commentary, and it was spoken of in the Heaven of Indra, Namo Yindolaya Indra's, the Triastrimsha Heaven, the Heaven of the 33. So that version, which I have on my computer here, actually adds in another 15 types of ghosts. And that section where it has fears, Buya, Buya, Paya, Puya, all these fears, it lists all these other fears that human beings have, right? So then moving down to the next section here, there's one line that is referring to epilepsy ghosts, right? And all kinds of other ghosts that cause sicknesses. So this whole section here is a section that Master Hua warns when you're chanting it, you should only chant it with a mind of just benefiting others and not a wrathful mind. Because the Sarangama has five types of dharmas. And one of the types of dharmas in the Sarangama that clearly Master Hua or a great sage can do is wrathful. And wrathful means out of all those faces on Guanyin Pusa, the 11 of them, right? 10 of them are very kind faces. That's the method for us ordinary beings. One of them is very scary, right? The Mahakala, Moha Jelaya, mentioned twice in the mantra. So this section, right, in Tibetan Buddhism, it's very common, right, for high-level cultivators to envision that they're actually going to act on some level as a scary being to when people don't respond with kindness, sometimes you scare them into being a good person. So that's this meaning of Wei To Pusa in front of Wenfocheng. You see those big beings with swords, right? So when someone who's new to Buddhism comes and they see these beings with swords, they're going, what's this about? How come there's swords in Buddhism? I thought it's about nonviolence. How come Wei To Pusa carries a sword? Why does he need that? So this because there is a wrathful aspect. In this section, Master Hua warns in his commentary, you should chant it only with the mind that I'm just benefiting others. I'm not going to use my anger to try to set people straight, right? So don't have a mind when you chant this section of that you have indignation. This guy's a bad guy. I'm going to fix him, right? Even if you're very righteous and perfectly pure, probably you shouldn't do that until you're at a higher level. So that was Master Hua's warning. So this little section here, starting with especially this Pito Yeshu Chanto Yemi Jila Yemi, right? So you see this here, Pito Yeshu Chanto Yemi Jila Yemi, page 19. Pito Yeshu Chanto Yemi Jila Yemi. It's right here, Pito Yeshu. It starts first with the line 283, right? Pito Yeshu Chanto Yemi Jila Yemi. And then each time it lists some, so let's look at a few of those. You see Lutolaya, line 292, page 19. Lutolaya. Well, Lutolaya, we just lectured on that earlier. It was back on the first line 29 when it went Namo Bala Humoni, Namo Yuntolaya, Namo Puchipudi, Lutolaya. So you see on page 19, line 292, Lutolaya. And you see on page 8, line 31. So page 8, line 31. And page 19, line 292, Lutolaya. So what is Lutolaya? Again, it is Rudra. Rudra is Shiva, the god of death. So in Hinduism, we have three gods, right? And Buddhism has adopted these gods. It says, no, we didn't adopt them. They're bodhisattvas. They're Buddhas manifesting as God. So Lutolaya, right there, Lutolaya, line 31, and Lutolaya, line 292. What is that? It's Rudraya. And again, if I was an Indian guy bringing as a monk years, you know, centuries, 2,000 or 1,500 years back to China, and I said Rudraya, Chinese person might go, okay, Rudraya, Ludolaya, Ludalaya, Lutolaya. So Lutola is Rudraya. And again, Chilidan Pito Yeshu Chando Yemi Jila Yemi. So this Chilidan Pito Yeshu Chando Yemi Jila Yemi formula is basically a way of saying, it's a Sanskrit verse that simply means, please, I have great respect for you. I'm purifying my karma. Don't be too hard on me, right? Please be nice to me. I'm working my best to fix my negative behaviors, right? So it's again saying, all you great gods, please don't kick my butt. Don't strike me down with a bolt of lightning. I'm doing my best to be a good guy and fix my negative karmas of the past, right? Please let me stay in my human body a little bit longer. Don't afflict me, right? I've got enough. Please help me in some gentle way. So this formula repeats over and over again. You know, and Shiva will do that. If you study the three gods of Hinduism, there's Indra, but he's not part of the big three. The big three are Brahma, Namo Bala Humuni, right? And then there is Nolayenaya Narayana. So I'd like you to turn to the Nolayenaya section. That is on page 20, line 297. Nolayenaya, line 297, page 20. Nolayenaya. And if you turn back to page 8, you'll see it repeated again. This Nolayenaya, right? So Nolayenaya is page 8, line 35 and 36. Right? Nolayenaya. Nolayenaya, 35, 36, page 8. Turn to page 20 and you see Nolayena, right? 297. So this Nolayena, if you were a Hindu or went to a Hare Krishna temple, they'd be going, Hare Krishna, right? Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. But then sometimes they'll stop that and they'll go, Narayan, Narayan, Narayana, Narayana, Narayan. So Narayana is another name of Krishna, which is another name of Vishnu. So when the Hindus say that, oh, Buddhism, that's just a subset of Hinduism. Really, Vishnu, he incarnated as the Buddha. So, okay, we accept you guys because the Buddha, Shakyamuni, is just an incarnation of Vishnu. Well, if you are an incarnation of Vishnu, that means Vishnu is an incarnation of the Buddha. They're one and the same. How could an incarnation be separate from the real thing, right? So if Shakyamuni Buddha is a manifestation of Vishnu, then the other thing applies. Vishnu is a manifestation of Shakyamuni Buddha. It's not one is lesser and the other is greater, right? And in Master Hua's commentary, he says that's just it. Lutolaya is Rudraya. And Vishnu, right? Vishnu or Nolayenaya, Master Hua says, is medicine Buddha, right? So those five Buddhas that we invoked, I told you the five lineages, they manifest as the five popular gods of Hinduism, right? So this is a little esoteric, but this is some of the hidden meanings of the Sharangama, that it's actually a way that when I have Hindus speak about Buddhism and go, oh, it doesn't include God worship, I go, well, yes, it does. It's right here in the Sharangama, right? And when I hang out with Tibetans and they say, oh, Chinese Buddhism, it's not Vajrayana, it's not mantra usage, right? And it doesn't do wrathful forms, right? It only does reading sutras and praying to Amitabha. I go, no, no. Study the Sharangama includes all the dharmas that are spoken of in Tibetan, right, Buddhism. They're all included here, right? So just in the last year, I've been to many different empowerments from different teachers, Rinpoches, in their 80s, and they teach you a mantra, and the mantras they're teaching you are a small subset of the Sharangama. So Master Hua had said that the Sharangama mantra is not a whole bunch of mantras randomly strung together, right? Some scholars have said that. It's just a bunch of collection of mantras that someone strung together in China. That's definitely not the case. And if you look a little bit further in this section, the section 3, where it goes Pito Yeshu Tundo Yemi Jila Yemi, we'll see again mentioned the son of Shiva, the son of Lutolaya and Wumobodhi. Wumobodhi, Umapati Uma, the wife of Shiva, Uma, right, Umapati, is, we'll see, let me find it here, is Ganapati. Ganapati, Chento Yemi. Ganapati, Chento Yemi, Jila Yemi. Jinobodhi, line 333. Page 21, line 333. Have you ever seen Ganesh, the elephant god, mm-hmm. right, who has a trunk? He's the god of wisdom, Ganesh. So Ganesh, which means the realm of the senses, because his senses are pure and focused, and hence he has great wisdom with his senses, as opposed to confusion. His other name is Ganapati. And look it, if I, again, came to India, from India to China, around the Tang Dynasty, and I said Ganapati, they might go, Ganapati, Chenobodhi? Right? And they go, no, Ganapati. And they go, Chenobodhi. And I go, okay, good enough. And then it gets written out in Chinese characters, right? Well, that's what happens, right? You've heard the Dabei Zhou recited by the Vietnamese. Mostly you recognize it, but you can't fully recognize it. And when you hear the Cantonese and the Mandarin speakers say the Dabei Zhou, Great Compassion Mantra, slight differences, right? That's just how it is. So this Jenobodhi is the son of Shiva and Umapati, right? That first section. Lutolaya Umobodhi, Shiva and his wife, the goddess Uma, right? Or what's called Shiva and Shakti. So Jenobodhi is Ganesh. This means, Ganesh, please leave me alone. Now I study with an Ayurvedic guy, Dr. Vasant Lad, who all his life worships Ganesh. And he says there's two types of Ganesh statue. One that has the trunk going off, you're looking from your perspective, but imagine the trunk goes off to the right. If you were looking at an elephant in front of you, and the trunk, it curls off to the right, your right, not my right, right? So that Ganesh, you could just set it on a shelf and forget it, and it'll bring you good blessings. But Dr. Lad warned us, he says, if you get by a Ganesh image, and the statue's trunk is heading off to the left, right? Meaning your left, really the elephant's right, Ganesh's right. That Ganesh, you should not put in your house. You know, and Dr. Lad's just warning us, my Ayurveda teacher, he says, you better make offerings to it every day if its trunk's going off to the left. That kind is a wrathful Ganesh, and unless you say, Ganesh, I'm doing my best to not do anything wrong, here's some flowers, here's some fruit, here's some incense, right? He will come kick your butt when you make any mistake. He'll go, bad guy, right? So again, that makes sense. Ganesh, Jenobodhi is Chili Dan Pito Yeshu Chundo Yemi Jilang. Please, Ganesh, I'm doing my best. Don't give me a hard time, okay? I just invoked all the Buddha's names. Ganesh, I respect you, but leave me alone. I'm going to be a good guy, right? Don't give me a hard time. If anything, protect me. And then move down a little bit further. You'll see Mahakala. Again, the wrathful form of Avalokiteshvara. It's Moho Jelaya, right? So the Mahakala is referenced three times. So the wrathful form of Guanyin Pusa is referenced three times in here, right? So see if you could find that there. Mohajala, line 307, right? So years ago I went to Reverend Hungshir and said, boy, Reverend Hungshir, I'm having a hard time here. People tell me maybe I shouldn't be chanting the Sharangama Mantra. I should just chant Guanyin Pusa because the Sharangama Mantra is too powerful. And maybe it's going to make me like go crazy and have all these hard times in my life, right? And I was going, maybe Sharangama is the cause of my problems I'm having, right? And he said, no, Guanyin Pusa is all over the Sharangama Mantra. Don't worry about that. Just chant the Sharangama Mantra like you're doing and eventually it'll work itself out. Just follow your precepts. So Mohajalaya is Mahakala. Again, wrathful form of Guanyin Pusa. Line 307, page 20, Mohajala. And if we move back to line page 8, line 40, Mohajalaya. Mohajalaya, page 40. Page 8, line 40. Page 8, line 40, Mohajalaya. Page 20, line Mohajalaya is right there, line 307. And it's mentioned also in section 4 of the mantra. So Mahakala, the scary form. If you were to go to the internet to Google images, not Google search, and type Mahakala, M-A-H, Maha means big, Kala means time. Because Mahakala works over a big period of time, right? Kala, K-A-L-A. So if you type Mahakala, you would find all these pictures of scary-looking monsters drawn in colorful forms, right? And they've got a skull cap, and they've got like a wrathful thing, and they're stepping on a bunch of dead bodies, right? Scary. What's that part of Buddhism? Well, again, Guanyin Pusa mostly looks beautiful, kind, feminine form, right? Going to benefit you. But benefit you, and still you don't listen? Okay. Okay, I'll be a good boy this time, right? So it's the same sort of thing there. And move down a little bit further in the mantra. You will see actually arhats. Now hang on, it references all these gods in wrathful forms. Why does it say Ulohan, Ulohan, right? So Ulohan Chili Dan Pito Yeshu Chando Yemi Jila Yemi. Ulohan, you'll see right near the end part there. It's in this month's issue of Vajrabodhi C, line 344. Ulohan, right? So Ulohan Chili Dan Pito Yeshu Chando Yemi Jila Yemi. Now you'd think an arhat would never do anything but benefit people, right? Now you know arhats, right? Disciples of the Buddha, but there could be an arhat who's not a direct disciple in front of Shakyamuni Buddha, but has awakened to understanding the Four Noble Truths. And you know that besides arahats, there's another type of cultivator called what? The solitary enlightened ones, pratyekas. And they cultivate what? The 12 links. So you might have remembered the story when Shakyamuni Buddha says he's walking through with his disciples this area, and there's no people at all. And they're like, Shakyamuni, how come there's no people here at all? And he says, long time ago, there was a solitary enlightened one, a Pratyeka Buddha, who cultivates the 12 links. And he was a hermit on his own, with no teacher, no Buddha in the world, cultivating. And he was awake. And people found him out, and they're like, oh, great sage, please give me a blessing. And sure enough, the queen finds out about it. And then she tells the prime minister. And before you know it, the whole community's lined up asking for a boon. A boon meaning a blessing from him. And he's like, oh my God, I want to sit here in samadhi and cultivate to get to the next level, and you keep bugging me. So he says, I wish you'd all just die. And they all drop dead on the spot, right? Now here's an example of an enlightened sage, a Pratyeka Buddha, Shakyamuni tells a story, who suddenly got a temper briefly and went, I wish you'd all die. And because he'd been cultivating so much, he had enough power and they all dropped dead. Oh my God, how horrible, right? So in a similar way, it means arhat, Pratyeka Buddhas, please don't be wrathful towards me. I'm doing my best to fix my karma. So arhats, chilidan pito yeshu chanto yemi jila yemi, right? So it goes through this list. And if you look at the longer Sanskrit version of this, rather than say chito pito yeshu chanto yemi jila yemi, I think about 11 times, it says it 20 times. And it brings in all kinds of other things not in the Chinese version of it. So the Siddham version, which is the Chinese one, right, the shortened one, it's only 544 lines long. The Sanskrit one is about another 30% longer. And it says things like, hey, you Kanaras, right? Hey, you Gandharvas, right? Hey, you Mahoragas, you great serpents. Hey, you Nagas, right? You dragons. Please, all of you, Pito Yeshu Chando Yemi Jila Yemi, right? Please just leave me alone. I'm doing my best. I'm following precepts. Don't make my karma ripen too rapidly, right? So this is where Master Hua says, if someone is afflicted with a ghost or a demon or a possession, you shouldn't be using the Sharangama thinking, oh, I've been chanting this for 5 or 6 years. I'm going to chant this section because I heard it invokes all those spirits. They have spirit possession. I'll just go, you know, Pito Yeshu Chando Yemi Jila Yemi Da 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 Da, I'm going through, and I'm going to get rid of their demonic possession. I'm going to get rid of their ghost. No, no, no. You're not at that level. So he gave a warning in the commentary, please don't do that. So the section 3, you could chant it, but don't chant it with a mind that I'm going to get rid of this ghost in the house, right? Don't think it that way. Just chant it with no mind at all that's trying to achieve anything at all. Okay, the last section I'm going to give you is very interesting. Someday, you know, a couple of people at DRBA, when I first mentioned it, Ron Epstein, he said, boy, you should write an article on that so that we could have another thing to refute people who say the Sharangama was invented by the Chinese. So there's some Japanese scholars back in the 20th century who said, the Sharangama mantra and the Sharangama sutra, that's obviously invented by Chinese. Look, it's so much about Chan, right? And it was just Chinese who invented this, and it's not a real Sanskrit text from India. Well, as I studied it in 2003 at the retreat at Wanfocheng, I started to notice that the Chinese elements, right, of metal, right, the Chinese use metal element. In Ayurveda, in India, you never speak of the metal element, right? And the Chinese speak of the wood element, right? There's no wood element in Hinduism and Ayurveda or India. No wood element at all. So how come the 25 sages are related to the 5 elements of space, air, fire, water, earth? If it were the Chinese, you'd think they'd use metal and wood and so forth, right? So then I got to studying this a little bit more, and I found a section in section 5 of the Sharangama Mantra. So let's jump to section 5, and that's the part I'll end on for my little commentary here. There's a section in here where it goes through all the different names of diseases in Sanskrit, right? Now the Chinese disease model, because I've studied Chinese medicine, I've studied Ayurveda for many years, the Chinese model is very different than the Ayurvedic model, right? So in here, you see a word referring to pain, and that word for pain in Sanskrit is shula, right? So we're going to find the section here that says shula, 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 shula. Okay, so what's that?
From 489.
Yeah, from 489. So look at page 28, 489. You'll see shulan, 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 shulan mentioned over again. All this pain section. So this is what I call the pain section of the Sharangama mantra, right? And what it does is it dispels all kind of pain. So if you look at line 488, it says jelahu, right? Jelahu. Shulan, right? Jelan, jena, shulan. So this 489, line 489, Jelan Jena Shulan. So Jelan is Karna. Karna means ear. This means earache pain. I've got an earache. I don't want the earache pain. Shanta Sharangama. So Master Hua says the Sharangama mantra can cure any disease whatsoever. Well, much of disease is simply pain, dukkha. But the Sanskrit word for pain is not dukkha, that's suffering, it's shula. So again, it comes to China, and instead of shulam, it becomes shulan. Shulan means pain. So the first one is pain in the ear. Next there's line 490. 490 is dando. Dando? Well, Indian guy comes to China and he says danta. And Chinese guy says dando. And he goes, okay, good enough. Dando, danta, close enough. So dando is danta, your teeth, right? And you go to the dentist and they do dental work. Dental, dando. So this means pain in the teeth, right? Toothache, 491. 491 is chiliye. Chiliye is hridaya, the heart. Chiliye, that means heart pain. And it goes on and on and on. 492, momo. Momo is marma. So the word for acupuncture in Chinese, right? Acupuncture points. In Sanskrit, the word for acupuncture point is marma. So line 492 is momo. Momo means marma. Marma means a coming together of an energy center in the body. And you push on this little spot right here, and it gets rid of pain. So often you go to your Chinese doctor, and they go, where do you have pain? Does it hurt here? And you go, oh, it hurts there. Well, this means marma pain. I have acupressure point pain. And it goes through this, and it basically lists, I'll just give you a quick summary of them. It says back pain. It says stomach pain, right? It says waist pain. It says bladder pain. And it goes through all these different pains in the body. Here's one that you could recognize, line 500. 500 is hushido shulan. Hushido in Sanskrit is hasta. And there's another section in the mantra where Master Hua talks about the vajra hand, right? It's in section 2. And it uses a similar hushido. Hushido in Master Hua says hasta in Sanskrit, but normally in Siddham is hushido. So this means pain in your hand. And line 501 is pain in your foot. Ah, I got a foot pain. Bato, and in Sanskrit is the pada, like pedestrian. So we have pedestrian, pa-ba-dostrian. So pato means foot. And the last one is 502. 502 is swo fang ang che. Ang che is the Sanskrit word anga. Anga means your limbs. And swo fang is all your limbs. So it means in all my limbs, but not my body, but my arms and my feet and my hands and my legs, I have pain. This is fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. So it goes through all these different things, right? So that is the Ayurveda section. I'm going to point you one last one, 505. This is how I tell Tibetans, right? In line 505, you see it says, Chachini, 505, Chachini. And I'm going to draw your attention back to section 3. To show you the word chachini again, it's in the front of section 3, line chachini. So anyone find chachini in section 3, somewhere around page 19, chachini. And you'll see what that means in a moment. So chachini. Does anyone see that? Ah, there it is, chachini. And by the way, the version that I have out on here that I've typed in, I went through and I compared which lines have it. So it's line 463 and 286. So 286, there it is, chayani. So page 19, chayani or chachini, same thing. Chayani, chachini, 286. Some of these could be transcription errors. Over the years, Master Hua has said sometimes a monk, right, just like in the Middle Ages in the West with Latin, they're transcribing a text and they miswrite one character, right? So Chayani 286, line 19. It's also on on line 463, right? Line 463, we see Chachini, again, Jelahu, right? Chachini Jelahu, page 27, line 463. Again, we move to line page 29, line 505, chachini. So what is chachini? It's dakini, right? So dakini is like a female cultivator in a heavenly realm. It's like a heavenly maiden, right? You know that story where Shakyamuni Buddha's with, what was it, his cousin? It wasn't Ananda, it was the other one. And he had such a beautiful wife that he was so attached to, right? And then Shakyamuni Buddha said, oh yeah, you're so attached to her? Come on up in the heavens. And he goes, oh my God, look at that beautiful woman up there. And he goes, okay. And then he later shows him that he's going to fall into the hells in the future, right? So there's certain heavenly maidens who are so beautiful, and also heavenly, young, virgin males or virgin girls, that you see their beauty and you're like, oh my God, it would arise desire. So this means, may these beings who are so beautiful not attract your desire, right, in a lustful way. So Dakini is Chachini. So in the Tibetan Buddhism, they speak about these Dakinis. They're called sky goers. And you ever see in the Tibetan, in the Chinese images, where they have Guanyin Pusa? And above it, we see it right up here. You see, I think on the stained glass, you see these beautiful little angels floating in the sky, right? These are not only devis, goddess beings. They're not goddesses. They're like angels or Dakinis. So it means, may the Dakinis also leave me alone. May my mind not be turned by their beauty. Or in the male form, if you're a woman, may you not be turned by this beautiful heavenly being's attractiveness. So another interesting section is in that section 463, line 463 with Chachini, right? You'll see it repeats over again, starting with line 4, Lao Toje La, right here, line 451. On page 27, 451, it repeats the formula of the ghosts that was found in section 3. Lauto jelahu, yacha jelahu, lacha tsu jelahu, right? Yakshas, rakshasas, budo jelahu is that stinky ghost, the putoya, right? Pu or bu means stinky, right? In French and English and in Sanskrit. And so on and so forth. The watermelon-shaped ghosts that push down on your chest but don't harm you, just crush you temporarily. So all those ghosts, again, may they leave you alone. Jelahu means grasp. May they not grasp me. So we could say in summary that what the mantra does is it invokes all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, it invokes all the gods, and then it says, all you lesser beings who might think you could go teach me a lesson, please leave me alone. The Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas are who I took refuge with. They're looking out for me, right? And they're the ones who are supporting me. So all you other lesser beings, although you're higher than me, right, you heavenly deities, you gods and goddesses, you angels, and may you wrathful energy beings, just leave me alone. The Buddhas are going to help me out, and I take refuge in my master. You know, the Buddhas, the Dharma, the Sangha. So that's pretty much it in there. And, the Sharangama Mantra is so vast. When Master Hua says it includes the entire Buddha Dharma, the substance and function and every aspect of the Buddha Dharma is in the Sharangama Mantra, I can really say that, having been in the Tibetan tradition now for a year and received all these mantra empowerments and studied it, I don't see any dharma that was found in the Tibetan tradition that's not also in the Sharangama, right? And yet the Chinese, because Chinese society is not 100% Buddhist, a lot of this is hidden, right? So when you're in the Tibetan Buddhism, they speak about this much more publicly, and that's simply because Tibet was 100% Buddhist country from 750 A.D., onwards, right? It's always been very heavily Buddhist, only slight period of decline, right? So there they talk about all this stuff that if you're new to Buddhism, this might seem a little far out or esoteric. In Tibetan Buddhism, it's spoken up out front. So when it came to America, it's just common, okay? In Chinese Buddhism, because Chinese has always been a multiple pluralistic society with Confucianism, Taoism, and later Christianity, it was never so fully Buddhist. So to talk about wrathful aspects and all these other things, it confuses people. So in the Chinese system of Mahayana, of Chan and the Pure Land, they don't really explain this much, right? And it's because it would cause people to have doubts if they were just entering on the path to Buddhism, right? Or it might cause them to go, oh, well, this is the same as Hinduism. I'm going to go back to my Hinduism. Oh, it's the same as Taoism. I'm going to go back to my Taoism, right? So it really includes all the different functions of this, okay? All right. That's a summary of it.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it, everything. I think I learned a lot. I hope everybody also had the same impression. I think it was the perfect timing for having this introduction, because this group is starting now, and I think right now we have a very solid foundation to know what we're dealing with. So I really appreciate what you have told us. So, just one note is, I think Lo San also mentioned, As far as we, or as long as we keep a mind of goodness, a good intention, there's nothing to really worry about this, no matter how many things we invoke or fearful they are. It's all in our intention. If our intention is for goodness, for trying to cultivate our path, to improve the world, help, then there is nothing to fear, okay? It's only if we try to do something not proper that we may encounter trouble. So that's the only kind of concern we should have. I think for today is enough. It's already past 9, so I don't want people to stay longer. So we're not going to do the part of memorization. Next week, we will again restart with it. So if you want to catch up with the first class, we memorize the first 9 lines, which basically is taking refuge. So it's a perfect way to start, and if you want to do it, it's not that long, and probably you already heard several times, so try to, if you have time, okay, to memorize the first 9 lines. It's taking refuge with the triple jewel, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And we will start from that, okay? Of course, if you're more than welcome to come anytime you want.
Okay.
If you want to keep on coming, perhaps you could teach us about the section that we're going to to. We're planning to cover around 10 lines per class.
Okay, great.
Unfortunately, perhaps the timing should be shorter.
Yeah.
But I think today it was important to have the whole overview. So, if you have time and you would like to join us, please.
Yeah, I'd like that.
So, I think we can now transfer the merit and see you next week. Let's face the Kuan Yin. Are we going to do the field of transference of merit? Bow in respect to the Venerable Master.